Well, you ate all the turkey and you still decided to come to church today. That's a good thing. The very first word is going to be the last word today, and that is shalom. Welcome to worship. Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who gather for worship on this last Sunday of November 2023. Which is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost. And although we don't make a specific observation of it, it is also Christ the King Sunday. And you'll hear definite echoes of that in the sermon today. We hope you did enjoy your Thanksgiving. And we welcome you to the service, including those of you who join us online through the Ministry of Facebook live stream. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, and our special musicians, which are members of the Mayflower Chancel Choir. Our liturgist today is Lorraine Finneson. It is our privilege to welcome what I am calling our associate minister in residence, Reverend Art Ritter, into the pulpit today. Following the fellowship time in the Friendship Center, Reverend Art will also begin his Advent study, An Unlikely Advent. Now, this is a week before Advent. It actually starts next week on the church calendar, but this will give us a running start to another one of Art's wonderful series, each of which we have thoroughly enjoyed and appreciated. So, after a week in Virginia, I am personally grateful to Art for his willingness to do double duty today, and I'm looking forward to both of his presentations. I know you are too. I don't have too much luck preparing sermons behind the wheel of an automobile. But sometimes you can think about it, right? Betty Briggs comes to make a very important announcement today.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
At the last Prudential meeting, I presented what the Salvation Army offers for Christmas. And they've done this for a long, long time. It's called Adopt a Family, and as I said, they've done it for years. This opportunity to adopt a family was approved at the meeting, and we have been given a family of six, a mom, a dad, and four kids, ages 9, 8, 2, and 11 months. The plan is to provide a food basket for the family and toys for the children. Each child has a special wish, so it won't be difficult to shop and decide what to get them. If you could or would help with this worthy ministry, we can get together after worship in the Friendship Center and discuss the details. We can have the family meet here at the church on Thursday, December 21st, and receive their basket and their toys for their children. Hopefully this will make their Christmas a bit brighter, and I feel it will do our hearts good to help this family, and we can pay it forward. Blessings to you all.
Thank you, Betty. I'm going to have a little fun with that, although I understand that there's no more Toys R Us stores, right? We have to go somewhere else. But I do remember when the Rugrats, I mean my two sons, were little guys and having some fun going through the aisles of Toys R Us. It was a dangerous thing to take children through the toy aisles. Some of you remember that or can relate as you take your grandchildren shopping, right? This year we are also participating in a program to send Christmas cards to veterans. The students at Luton School and also where Jamie Keller teaches at the Galewood Early Elementary School in Charlotte, they will also be participating as students. So we would also appreciate some volunteers from Mayflower to help with this worthy project. And you can see Jen Hall in the Friendship Center following worship if you are interested to just brighten a day for a veteran. And help is always appreciated in the decoration of the church for the Advent and Christmas seasons. And I have to tell you a little story. In the church where Deanna and I attended before I assumed duties here at Mayflower, had a thing, and they called it, when they decorated the sanctuary, they called it Hanging of the Greens, and we had very good friends in the church whose last name was Green. And so I always made a joke to my friend Don, and I said, Don, looks like your bad day is coming up here as we're going to have a Hanging of the Greens. And we always got a good smile out of that. But if you can help, just come at 10 o'clock this Saturday morning, and then for Sunday through Advent and the Christmas season, we will have lovely decorations here in the sanctuary. Two reminders for any visitors in the service today. We do not pass offering plates as we consider your presence in our service as your gift of grace to us. For those of you who have come prepared with your pledge or offering of any kind, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. However, we do set aside a moment in worship where we all offer ourselves to God, followed by the singing of the doxology. The second reminder is the Lord's Prayer, which we pray together at the conclusion of the pastoral prayer. Sometimes there's confusion about two different uses of language. We use debts and debtors. And let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy some turkey on Thanksgiving? Most of you probably did. Maybe you watched some football?
Yeah.
Enjoyed visiting with your family?
Yep.
Whatever the case, I hope you had a wonderful holiday as we begin to look forward to yet another one, which is just 29 days away. Today, Reverend Art Ritter is back with us and will begin an Advent study a week early entitled An Unlikely Advent, following our fellowship time today. He will also bring the message during worship from Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus talks about final judgment when the sheep are separated from the goats. Not exactly an easy one, but we will let Reverend Art sort it out with us under the theme, A Sheep or a Goat? Let us now continue in worship as we sing, pray, listen, and reflect. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we pray that the spirit of thanksgiving would continue well past the holiday and into our worship today. as we approach another busy month of holiday activities, we pray that you would help us to stay centered within your beloved community as we share, support, pray for, forgive, and love one another. In so doing, we will model for the world the love of Christ, and we will also take to the world our mission to feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, offer healing in the name of Christ, welcome the stranger, visit the imprisoned, and clothe the naked. May the music we hear and sing, the prayers offered, the scriptures read, and the spoken word shared inspire and motivate us to do exactly what is expected of us who claim the name of Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
As we mentioned, our observance of Advent, as many churches worldwide observe, begins next Sunday, and the holiday season will now be in full swing. It seems like it's come a little early this year, because the day after Thanksgiving, you probably drove through your neighborhood and saw many people either putting up lights or having already done it. So even though we have gifts to purchase, cards to write, concerts to attend, and many of you with family members to host, let us all remember the gift of God's Son, which motivates us to give to others and give back to God. So it is with gratitude and joy in our hearts we now present to God our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves in this sacred act of worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, as the spirit of thanksgiving continues in our lives and in our worship and into the season that is just ahead of us, may we realize that the stress and the hardship for many is something that calls upon our compassion. But we take the time right now to thank you for the blessings of family, food, fellowship, and fun that was hopefully celebrated this past week during the Thanksgiving holiday. We are grateful to you for the country in which we live, even as we pray for its faults and for the healing of our great divide. We ask you for your divine intervention to end the prolonged period of chaos in Congress, for divine guidance and help for each leader, including our president, vice president, cabinet members, members of Congress, the Supreme Court, and others who hold high and sacred office. Give each of them a sacred sense of calling to serve the people with faithfulness and compassion. In spite of all that we see as wrong, take away our bent to cynicism and help us as followers of Christ to be a constant force for good and positive change. Help us to remember Christ can always be found among the least of these, your brothers and sisters, as we follow your command to love and serve. Give me a shepherd who has been called to the beloved community at a place called Mayflower, a continued sense of the sacred duty to tend and feed the sheep of your pasture with love and compassion. Help me to be faithful and diligent in each task, especially in the care of the souls of those you have entrusted to my care. Be with another faithful shepherd who has been called to be with us, Reverend Art, as he brings a message of truth and hope, and also leads us in a thought-provoking series during this season of Advent. Give all of us a preference for others as we constantly seek to emulate the ways of Christ. Give us a boldness of witness to love wastefully, serve joyfully, and give liberally. As we pray, help us to remember that our support and love can increase the effectiveness of each prayer, even as we mention now the first names of those upon our hearts and in our thoughts. And Lord, we ask you to be with those who are upon our hearts but not mentioned, and minister to the deepest needs of our own hearts as we pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Jesus shared what was the greatest commandment, which is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is our mantra here at Mayflower and our message. Given that, it is somewhat difficult to hear words of judgment from the one who taught us how to love. Let us not shy away from that difficulty as we hear now these words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took me in. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Or when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Thanks be to God.
I would like to add a personal note to our collective appreciation for Reverend Art Ritter, who has agreed to be with us for much of this year and whose lovely wife often accompanies him. So it has been our deep privilege, but my personal note is this. I feel it even a greater privilege to call Art a dear friend. So with that, Art, you made my Thanksgiving a lot easier, probably made yours a little tougher, but I can't wait, and neither can you.
Thank you. It's indeed an honor to be here, and thank you for all the kind comments. You're giving me a big head here. Do you prefer sheep or goats? Most of you said sheep. I remember a sermon that Reverend Mark gave, I think it was Palm Sunday, last Palm Sunday, when he was talking about his lamb chops he was expecting at Easter, so I know he likes sheep. I don't like lamb chops. I don't like goat's milk either, so. I guess a herd of goats might do a fine job in keeping my lawn trimmed, but a flock of sheep would do a better job in giving me wool for a warm winter sweater. Apparently, at least according to Scripture, God prefers sheep to goats. I always have a little trouble when I hear this passage. I have a lot of trouble, really, but I have a little trouble with the bad people sitting on the left side of God. I'm left-handed. And I want a little appreciation for the left side. A little girl attended church one Sunday, and she heard the preacher talk about this passage, the separation of the sheep and the goats. And this story of God's judgment troubled her deeply, as it does many of us. But it troubled her so much she was having trouble sleeping at night. She did her best to hide her fear from her parents, but one night she recalled the story and she began to cry, and her mother came into the room to comfort her. "What's the matter?" she said. "It's about those goats," she confessed at last. "I'm so afraid that I'm a goat. I'm a goat, and I'll never, ever get to heaven. I'm so afraid I'm a goat." Her mother tried to reassure her, "My dear child, you're such a sweet little lamb. If you were to pass tonight, you would go straight to heaven, I'm sure." Her words were successful in quieting the little girl, who quickly fell asleep. But the following night, the little girl was found crying in bed again. And when her mother appeared to comfort her, she wailed loudly, "I'm still afraid about the goats." The mother said, "But Mommy told you that you are such a little lamb, and you should never, ever worry about being a goat." The little girl, however, was not comforted. She continued to sob, "Yes, Mommy, I know that, but I'm afraid, awfully afraid, that you're a goat." One of my favorite plays is Thornton Wilder's Our Town. I love watching high school productions and community theater productions of that particular play. And every time I see it, I think the lesson of Our Town, at least as I get it, is kind of the same lesson that the character George Bailey learns in the seasonal film, It's a Wonderful Life. The character in Our Town, Emily, dies early in life, and then she's given a chance to review a scene from her past to teach her something about the importance of her life. And so she chooses to go back to see her 12th birthday being celebrated. She sees a lot of things in that particular day that she did not notice before or perhaps had forgotten in her living. And she's amazed at how no one there was paying attention to important things that were being said or important things that were being done. And finally, she cries out that she doesn't want to watch any more of the rest of her life. She says, "We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize that. All that was going on and we never, ever noticed. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every single minute." Emily learns that to live life is to generally exist without understanding everything that goes around us. As Reverend Mark mentioned, today is the final Sunday of the Christian year. It's called Christ the King Sunday. On Christmas, we worship Christ as a baby in a manger. On Easter, we worship a resurrected Christ. But today we remember and celebrate Christ the King, the ruler, the one in control who knows everything that we do and have done. Christ is the one in charge. A former parishioner of mine posted a photo this year of her porch on Halloween night. She and her husband weren't going to be home, and so they placed a bowl filled with Milky Ways and Snickers and Three Musketeers. Sounds good to me. They put that on their porch with a sign, and the sign read, "Take one and leave the rest. We're watching you on our security camera, and God sees you without any camera." In the same spirit, I recall that there's a sign above the cash register at the National Cathedral gift shop in Washington, D.C., and it reads, "We may not have seen you take it, but God did." To me, that's kind of the message we can take from Christ the King Sunday. God sees our life. God knows all that we are involved in. And although we may miss what happens around us, God sees and understands and is with us. God will eventually judge the right from the wrong, the sheep from the goats, even when we do not know we are participating in events so important to the divine ruler. At the end of the 25th chapter of Matthew, Jesus teaches this lesson about sheep and goats. It's a passage of judgment that does disturb us all just a little bit. We prefer to think of God as a God of grace, who deals with all of us very, very gently and wonderfully. But in this teaching, we get a picture of God as a God who seems to work with judgment, separating good from the sinners based on the works that they have performed during their lives here on earth. Jesus' example is one of a livestock pen where the shepherds would lead the flocks of sheep and goats, and another shepherd would stand at the narrow end of the pen, would send the goats to be milked to the left and the sheep to be shorn to the right. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, there is a writing about someone who separates the good wheat from the chaff. So this image of judgment and sorting has to be important to the writer of Matthew's Gospel. Following judgment, the good sheep are rewarded with blessing, eternal life in some pleasant place because they have given the hungry food, the thirsty drink, the naked clothing, the stranger welcome. The bad goats are punished, sent to a place of eternal fire and anxiety, all because they did not offer such kindness and grace. Interestingly enough, both sheep and goats ask God the very same question. When did we do all of this stuff for which we are being judged? When did all of these things happen? The sheep couldn't remember performing any great feats of mercy and kindness. The goats couldn't require any time in which they had seen God and then ignored God's request for them. One group did the right thing. The other group failed to do the right thing. But both groups ask, just when and where did we miss seeing you, God? When were you with us and we did not know? In this passage, Jesus points out the importance of being faithful at all times. It's one thing to say we believe in God, but it is another thing to put our belief in God into practice. It's one thing to say that we believe in the promise of a heavenly reward sometime in our future, but it's another thing to act as if we were building the kingdom of God with the words we say and the actions we take. What we do is not always measured in some heroic deed or some magnificent award-winning accomplishment. The kinds of things by which God measures our life are found in the ordinary interactions we have each day, in responding to the good news with the situations we encounter each and every moment of life. Calvin Seminary's Scott Hosey writes that Jesus did not say that everyone in prison has to be set free by us. He said it's enough to visit them. Jesus did not say that we have to find the cause of each disease that afflicts someone. It's enough to look after the sick. Jesus did not say that when someone thirsts, we are to find them a drink. He said we are to do what we can to assuage their thirst. When someone is hungry, we can bring them food. When someone is cold, we can bring them a coat. When someone's a stranger, we can offer them words of welcome. It's basic. It's logical. And it makes a difference in the eyes of God. While we may be looking for big contests that we can be victorious in God's judgment, Jesus says we might miss those opportunities to be the presence of God each and every day of our life. I once heard a story of a young man who had a job interview with a large company, and he prepared days and days for his interview, anticipating all the questions that he might be asked. And at the interview, he performed magnificently, impressing all three of the company's representatives who ask him questions. He then was told to return to the office for a final interview with the company present the following week. With those words, the main interviewer offered a ride with a young man on the elevator to the lobby, and as they entered the elevator, so did another man who happened to be that company president. The main interviewer introduced the young man to the president with these words, "This is the leading candidate for this position, and he had a great interview. He's coming in to speak to you next week." The president turned to the young man and said, "Oh, that's wonderful. It's so nice to meet you. Please, can you tell me your philosophy of life?" The young man was stunned into silence. It isn't one of the questions he had anticipated for his interview. He hadn't planned for this kind of encounter. He was ready for the interview room, but he wasn't ready for the elevator. About 30 seconds of unremarkable babble came out of his mouth, and the following week, the interview with the president was canceled. He didn't get the job. In the story of the sorting of the sheep and the goats, the biggest surprise for all of us seems to be that God is around and Jesus knows what we are up to even when we don't know that God is around and Jesus knows what we're up to. You see, God isn't present only at church or God isn't there only when we dress up in our finest clothes. Jesus isn't around only when we write a check or volunteer to serve in some place or time that is convenient to us. As Barbara Brown Taylor writes, God isn't just somewhere. God is everywhere. God is there in the situations of life that we deem routine. God is there in the people of our lives that we ignore because they have no importance to us. If we know that Christ is King and Christ is present in every moment and situation of life, in every person who shares our space, how might we act differently? That, Jesus says, is what decides whether we are a sheep or a goat. And that is what we remember and observe on this day. We acknowledge Christ as King. We are part of building that kingdom. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And on this day, we acknowledge that he is King and that his way is to rule over all of us throughout our world and our universe. Oh God, it is hard for us to understand or to acknowledge your presence in our lives. There is so much of what we do and what we say that seems so unimportant and mundane. There are people who pass us by who we have no affiliation. And so, God, we proceed as if nothing we do is of importance to you. Help us to understand that we are building your kingdom and that we are to take the example and the teachings of Jesus and to live as your faithful servants. And with each word and each expression and each action, we are to share of your love and your grace and your mercy, acknowledging that he is King and that your kingdom is with us now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
closing today, I'm sure Reverend Art would concur with me that our faithfulness as shepherds is inspired because of your faithfulness and love. And together, we take that same spirit into the world and do exactly what that hymn has just encouraged us to do. So, may you go in peace, and hopefully many of you will join in the Friendship Center. Amen. It's on now. Took me a while. What was the first word that I shared with you and told you it would also be the last? And did you hear the choir? Ah, they came through, didn't they? Well, it's only 11:20, folks, and that's the way it should be on a holiday weekend. We've all kind of been through it, and when I got on the scales this morning, it was like, oh no. Maybe some of you had that same experience, but the work begins anew to try to keep the holiday diet under some reasonable control. And we may have some difficulty with that as we go back today to enjoy some food and fellowship, and then to begin the Advent series. And again, we'll get you out in pretty good shape today. It's wonderful to see you all after I've been away this Thanksgiving. It's good to be here. And Art, thank you again for doing your thing today. I feel scot-free. I feel like, let me just admit it, I'm paid for nothing. All right, go in peace. We'll see most of you in the Friendship Center.